Praise the name of Jesus. God is good. All the time.
Good.
It's good to see you all this morning. Many people are away. We know we are aware of that, and that's why it's a bit thin on the ground. But hey, we one with God is a majority. Amen. And we are here this morning. I really believe that God has really, you know, blessed us today, and He's visited with us. I felt the Spirit of God in this place. And as a church, as you know, we are in the period of transition. And so many of you know now that we are moving to the Burlington Junior School from the 1st of July. They have a fantastic hall, really big. And we are going to do our Sundays over there. You may ask why. I've given you already all the reasons. But the main reason is that we need to be on the high street, a place where people can come, they can park, easy access to the building, and a place where we can accommodate much more people. Because I believe that God's going to give us a great harvest of people, of souls. Yep. So towards that, we need to pray. And one of the things that I really is on my heart is for us as a church to pray. I know I did send you a WhatsApp message for those of you who are on the WhatsApp group of the Lighthouse Church to say, pray, you know, pray whenever you can pray. If you can fast and pray, please do pray, because prayer is important. Now, as if you want to do more prayer and if you want to come together tomorrow, Monday evening, we did it last Monday as well. Tomorrow, Monday at 8 o'clock, I'm going to be here with some of our leaders as well. And if you really want to come and pray with us for 1 hour, 8 to 9, then I invite you to come and pray with us. We had an awesome time last Monday, and the Spirit of the Lord just began to speak. And out of that, I have a message for you this morning. Isn't that great? Out of the Spirit of the Lord speaking, I have a message. So God does speak when we come together and when we pray. So that's tomorrow evening, Monday evening, tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Okay. Also, we had quite a lot of people, and I'm really proud of everyone here, because y'all are so amazing in giving up your time and wanting to serve God in this place. And so this is for those of you who have connected to this house, if you feel, this is my home. And you know, when you know it's your home, you'll do whatever it takes to make sure that your home looks good. Am I right? Nobody wants their home looking in a shabby state. We will do anything we can to bless our home, to look after our home. And though for those of you who consider this your home, you remember last week we sent a sheet out saying, would you like to be part of the team that helps us when we move to the new building, to the school in Burlington, the junior school, to the hall rather, in the new junior school. And many of you put your names down there, and we asked, what area would you like to serve in? And you did that as well. And so for those of you who were not here last Sunday, and you still say, hey, I want to do something, I want to serve, I want to be involved, I don't want to be on the sidelines anymore, I want to get in on the action. And so for you, I'm going to leave this sheet. Who's here? Where is Alf? Oh, Alf's there. Okay. I'm going to give this sheet to Alf. Alf, say hi. Hi. Okay. So I'm going to give this to you, Alf. And if you really want to put your names on here and say which area you'd like to serve in, then please do so. And so I thought, for those of you who've put your names already, who are Julia, Caroline, Nilakshi, Nilesh, Kareem, Simon, Belinda, Lynn, Latha, Flo, Michael, Glenda, Alf, myself, Jenny, we are all part of it, Bob, and we are all in it together. Okay. And so next Sunday, after the service, I would like to meet with the team who have put their names on the list, because we need to brief you in advance as to what's happening, what the layout looks like, where we need help and support. So next Sunday after church, we will meet together with those who have put their names on this list. Is that okay? Are you happy? Are you with me? Are you excited? about moving to this new hall. It's amazing. Right, so there was an airplane that was about to crash. Not a good thing, is it? No. Who wants to be on an airplane about to crash? No one. There were 4 passengers, but only 3 parachutes. Oh my, that's no good either. Four passengers, 3 parachutes. The first passenger said, "Hey, look, I'm a leading heart surgeon. My patients need me." So he grabbed the first parachute and jumped. The second passenger said, "I'm a rocket scientist, one of the smartest men in the world. My country needs me." So he took the second parachute and he jumped. The third passenger was Pope John Paul. And he said to the fourth passenger, a 10-year-old Boy Scout son, "I'm old and frail. You take the last parachute." The little boy scout said, "That's okay, sir. There's still 2 chute parachutes left. The world's smartest man jumped out with my backpack." Okay, it's good to laugh. It's good to smile. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay. So, as I said last Monday, we were here praying. And I was just asking the Holy Spirit. I said, "God, give me something. Give me something." And God gave me a word, a scripture. And I'm going to preach out of that scripture this morning. Because whenever it comes to something that's major, a major change or a transition that I spoke about last week. Who was here last week for the message on transitions? Yeah. You should get the notes for that. It's on the website. If you go onto our website, I don't know how many of you go on our website. It's a good website. We're revamping that as well. But it's a good website. If you go on our website, you will see all the messages up there. And you can hear it audio as well. So you hear my lovely voice. How about that? But if you don't like my voice, that's okay. You can read through the notes. It's all there. So please go on our website. It's, if you Google Lighthouse Church New Malden, you go straight in there. Or lighthouse-church.org.uk. So all the W's, lighthouse-church.org.uk. And you'll find all our notes there. So whenever it comes to something major, we always look for a promise or a word from God to say, "God, are you really in this?" And I know I told you last Sunday that, yes, we do check it out with the senior leaders, with those we have relationship with, those we are accountable to. And we ask them, "What do you think? What is the Lord saying to you?" And we do that. We do due diligence, as we call it. But it always helps when we hear from the Lord. It boosts our faith and our confidence to know that, "Hey, God, you're actually in this." How many love that? And so even as pastors, there is, you know, it's sometimes never easy. Because, you know, you're always thinking, "Okay, am I doing the right thing? Am I taking the church in the right direction? You know, are we doing things according to the word of God?" And we know that God is going to move mightily. We know God's going to do great things in our midst. But we always have this little human element, don't we? You know, that always says, "Are you sure? You know, is this the right thing to do? What about all the other options?" You know, and a kind of quote unquote, you know, that fear of the unknown can always bombard us. Because when there's big change, there's always a fear of, "What's going to happen? Is it going to happen?" You know, "Are everybody with me?" kind of thing. So we as well, we go through this kind of reasoning, because that's human to reason. But then the Holy Spirit comes in and he gives you a word. And he says, "Come on now, you know, you don't have to worry about all that because I am with you." So here's the word that I got from Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verses 8 to 10 in the God word version that I have up here. So Isaiah 41 verses 8 to 10. If you can put it up, that'll be great. God's word version. He says here, "But you Israel," who are Israel? You and I, we are the sons of God. We are part of Israel. We are Israel. "But you Israel are my servant. You're Jacob, my first choice, descendants of my good friend Abraham. God here is referring to the seed of Abraham according to the flesh. That's all the generations coming through Abraham, because God promised Abraham. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, he said, in you all the nations will be blessed. And so the seed of Abraham is blessed, and God is referring to that. He's also referring to the true seed, who are the heirs of the faith of Abraham. Heirs of the faith of Abraham. The true seed. That's you and me. We are partakers of the same Abrahamic covenant. Nothing's changed. We are co-heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The same law, the same faith. We have the same covenant that Abraham had. So we are the seed who are heirs of the faith of Abraham. And thirdly, God is referring to the seed, which is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And if you want scripture for that, you can look at Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 22, and also you can look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 7 if you're taking notes, and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 talks about that. You and I, we are the children of promise. And those who are of faith, and it says here, I pulled you from all over the world, called you from every dark corner of the earth. I've chosen you, I haven't rejected you. Hallelujah. God is telling us this morning, I've called you out from every part of the earth. We're all people from different nationalities here this morning. Praise God for that. And he says, I've chosen you, I haven't rejected you. Hallelujah. Praise his name. And he says this in verse 10. This is the key verse. Don't be afraid, tell your neighbor. Don't be afraid. Why? Because God says, I am with you. Don't be intimidated. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will support you. Hallelujah. With my victorious right hand. God, this morning I want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise in your word. Thank you, Lord, you've given us a quickening word, a rhema word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God, I pray you'll quicken this word into our spirit this morning as we hear your voice, oh God. I pray that we'll obey your voice. Give us a heart that's receptive, ears that are open to your word this morning. And may it just lodge in our hearts. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the first thing God is saying is that he is with us. And that he is our God. Hallelujah. That's the first thing God is saying. I am your God. I am with you. I am with you. God told Isaac in Genesis 24 and verse 26, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. God told Moses, I am with you. God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Only be strong and courageous. Hallelujah. This is a very reassuring word that God gives us in the midst of our mess, in the midst of our uncertainty. Isn't it? Isn't that a strong word that God gives us? I am with you. I am your God. In our messiness, in our uncertain times, how comforting is it to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, who created everything that is there, says this to us. I am with you. I am with you. So don't be afraid. When I had this word, I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. And today, if you hear this word and it's resonating in your spirit, whatever messy situation you're in or uncertainties that you're facing in life, you got to take this word this morning and say, God, your word says here that you are with me and that you are my God. And I confess and declare this morning that you are with me, God. I know I'm going through an uncertain time. I'm going through a messed up lifestyle. I'm going through this and this situation, but I know your word says that you are with me and that you will be my God, and you are my God. And it's not just a case of thinking it up here, but it's a declaration from our mouth, from our lips, say, God, I know you are my God and you are with me. It can't get better than that, can it? No, the King of Kings, the God of the universe is with you. Tell your neighbor, that's for you. He's with you. Think about that. Think about it. Wow. The God of the universe, the Lord, the King of Kings, is with you. Praise his holy name. The final words that Jesus spoke before he left this earth in Matthew 28, and we all know this, he said, was this: remember that I am with you always until when? Until the end of time. Or he says, lo, I am with you. I am with you always to the end, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. That's not for the next few years. It's forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? What a promise. What a promise. You know, when a man and a woman get married, they make their vows and they make their commitments and they say, till death parts us. This is what I promise. Jesus says, forever and forever and forever, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hallelujah. The words I am, are the two most powerful words of the description of who God really is. They are all composite. They are all complete. They are all fulfilling. I am. It's the Almighty God in every sense of the word declaring who he really is. We can rely on the I am God. He's the God of today. He's the God of the now. He's the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Hallelujah. The great I am. Today, God assures you and he tells you this: I am with you. I am. That's the all-composite God. The all-complete, the all-fulfilling God is saying, I am with you. I am your God. God is a personal God. Hallelujah. God is a personal God. Our Father, he's a personal Father. He's our personal Savior. He's not an abstract somebody somewhere. He has a relationship with us. God has a relationship with you and me. That's the difference between religions and Christianity. So I don't call Christianity a religion. Why? Because we have a relationship with God our Father. We do things out of love, not out of fear, not out of intimidation, not out of a book of rules. It's because we love Jesus. We come to church not because we force you, because you love Jesus, because you love people who are in Jesus, because you love people and you want to see people come to know Jesus. That's why we are here. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. We know our God. We love our Lord Jesus. He's a personal God. He is all you will ever want. You can experience Jesus right now. And all you do is say, Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to have this relationship with you. I want you living in me. I want to love you, Jesus. I want to serve you all the days of my life. When the Jews questioned Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 8, 57 to 58, when they questioned Jesus as to how old he was and whether he'd seen Abraham, what cheek, isn't it? So, have you seen Abraham? You know what Jesus said? He gave this answer. Before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. Before Abraham was, I am. Why? Because Jesus existed from the very beginning of time. In creation, Jesus was involved in creation, in creating you and me. Hallelujah. He designed everything, perfected everything. He was there, right there, at the beginning. Before Abraham was, I am. Time cannot limit Jesus because he is timeless. Hallelujah. He is timeless. Praise his name. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 tells us, we know this scripture well. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. Isaiah 43 and verse 13 tells us this. Yes, I am God. I've always been God. And I always will be God. Hallelujah. So even in your midst of whatever you're facing this morning, you can say, God, you are God, you will be God. Forever, you are God in my situation. No one can take anything from me, the Lord says in Isaiah 43:13. No one can take anything from me. I make, in other words, I create. Who can unmake it? Who can destroy my creation? Psalm 90 and verse 2 tells us this. Long before you brought earth itself to birth, from once upon a time to kingdom come, you are God. I like that version. From once upon a time to kingdom come, you are God. You remember telling stories to children? Once upon a time, there lived a man. Once upon a time, there was this person called Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's not a once upon a time story. It is a forever story that we can declare to the people. Till God's kingdom comes, you are God. Because Jesus is the great I am, we can increasingly call upon him, unceasingly call upon him. He is what we need when we need it. He is never on holiday. Isn't that good? He is never on holiday. He never slumbers nor sleeps. We see that in Psalm 122. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's not too busy with more important things. He's never too tired. He's never too angry. Jesus is never too frustrated. He's never too overwhelmed to be whatever it is we need. Hallelujah. His customer service is superb. How many of you look for good customer service when you go to a shop or a restaurant? We all look for good customer service, don't we? Jesus has the best customer service you can ever have. When we are sad, when we are depressed, or when we are lonely, God is our loving, kind, encouraging friend. Our Savior, he's our counselor. He's our bountiful provider. When we fall on hard times, he provides for us. Jesus is our divine healer. When we are sick, he's our mighty protector who guards us, who keeps us safe and free from harm. He's the God who said in Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. I've been declaring that word this week. I've been saying, God, I declare, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. How many know that whenever we launch something new, the enemy tries to build up the strategy against us? He does it all the time. We are aware of his strategy. And so sometimes it is frustrating. It is sometimes disappointing. It is sometimes going through the, you know, through the valley experience, you know, of saying, God, are you really still here? Are you really still with me? God, what happens to everything? What's happened to people? You know, why are things happening the way they are? But God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. 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 No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That includes the enemy. No weapon of his can ever overtake our lives, can never overcome our lives when we truly know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is a teacher that fills us with knowledge and wisdom, and Jesus orders our steps. Jesus Christ is the architect that draws the well-thought-out plans for our lives. God has your life and my life in his hands. He says, the plans I have for you are amazing plans. They have a future. They have a hope. It's not to condemn us. It's not to spew us out. But it's to give us hope and a future. God is the author and he's the Prince of Peace. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 tells us that. He will go to battle for us. He will fight for us. Hallelujah. We don't have to fight our battles. God will fight for us. Let's not do the fighting. Let God do the fighting. Let God do the vindicating. Because he does it better than we can ever do. Are you getting something this morning? Of the amazing I am. The God who is God, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's our dwelling place. He's our deliverer. Our hiding place of safety and security. There's no place secure than in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's our everlasting joy. He's our fountain of joy. Hallelujah. That never runs dry. He's our towering strength. We can always draw strength from Jesus. He's our energy, our restored energy when we are exhausted. How many have felt the presence of God? Whenever you come for a prayer meeting, for a time of prayer, that you leave and you're never exhausted, because the Holy Spirit always refreshes you. It happened last Monday as well. I was sitting here and I was just playing my guitar and I was just worshiping. And the Lord just refreshes you. That's what he does. Hallelujah. He's the one who restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness, by the still waters, in green pastures. Hallelujah. That's where God leads us. He's our motivator. I like that. Not some motivating video out there. God is our motivator because he is our source. Everything we do should be surrounded around, is that correct? Surrounded? Should surround him. Everything we do should be around God, around Jesus. Our actions should be around Jesus. Everything should be around Jesus. Our motivation, our attitude should be around Jesus. How is Jesus pleased? How is Jesus exalted in this? How is Jesus glorified in what I am doing? That should be our motivation. Our coming to church should be, how will Jesus be glorified? How can I glorify Jesus? Can I be a blessing to people when I come? Can I pray for somebody? How much will that bless that person? He's the one who gives us encouragement. He's our beginning. He's our end. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So that's the first one. I am with you and I am your God. The second one is this. In the same scripture, God says, I will. It's not I, me. Whenever you're doing good, only if you're a good person, then I will. God says, no, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will support you. Hallelujah. With what? With my victorious right. Victorious right arm. It's an arm of strength and power. God's assurance of strength and help and victory over sin and death is absolutely certain. Hallelujah. He crushed the head of the serpent. Ha! Praise the name of Jesus. He crushed the power of the enemy. He overcame sin and death for us. He won the battle. He's a victorious Lord and Savior. When God says, I will, He will. He will. You can rely on that word. Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us this, that His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 40 and 29, He says this, He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Hallelujah. What does He do? Gives strength and increases power. Psalm 28 and 7 says this, The Lord is my strength and shield. Hallelujah. The Lord is my strength and shield. And He says on, for He has become my salvation. Psalm 18 and 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Hallelujah. That's something you and I can declare when we are going through the hard times, when the enemy is trying to buffet us on every side, when we hear words of discouragement, people are doing things against you, and you're feeling the pressure that's coming on you. You can declare that word and say, together with God's word, that God, You are the strength of my life. In You I have deliverance. In You I have victory. In You I have freedom. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Psalm 27 said, The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of when? Trouble. A very present help in times of trouble. The reason I'm giving you these scriptures is that when you are facing times of trouble, don't run hither and thither trying to get human wisdom and human understanding. Go to God and say, God, I thank You. Your word says that in Psalm 47, that's what Your word says. You are my refuge. You are my strength. You are my very present help in times of trouble. Thank You, God, that in this time of trouble, You are my strength. You are my present help. Psalm 55 and 22 says this, Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. Don't cast your burden on the pastor. The pastor cannot sustain you. He didn't die for you. Cast your burden on whom? On the Lord, Jesus Christ, because He and only He can sustain you. He can support you. Psalm 62 and 7 says, God, the rock of my strength. Psalm 121, I said this earlier as well, says this, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will preserve you. And the Lord will support you. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged this morning? Are you encouraged this morning that this is your God? This is our God. This is the great I am. He's in the midst of us. He's in us. He's perfecting that which is in us. He's bringing us to a place where we're able to rise up above our situation. As I was telling someone this morning, we don't as Christians, we don't just go on a level playing field. We're not always like that. We're sometimes like that. We're sometimes like that. But we shouldn't always be like this. There are times when we are up there, we are strong in God, we are moving in God. Something happens, there's a dip, but then we get encouraged. We encourage ourselves in God. We take God's word, we declare and speak God's word into our situation, and back up we come again. And we keep moving and cruising at the altitude that God wants us to cruise at. You can count on Jesus to meet all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You can count on Jesus to meet all your needs according to His riches. Philippians 4:19. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. His generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours out from Jesus. We see numerous examples in the Bible of God's amazing provision for His children, for His people. Elijah, God told him to go and live by the brook called Cherith. And He fed Elijah. There was water till Elijah's time had come. And God said, okay, you're getting too comfortable now. No more food, no more water. Get up. I'm taking you somewhere else. God knows the timing for everything in our lives. God always provides for us at the right time. You can count on Him. Look at Moses. God provided for him. Amazing. Look at Joshua. Look at David. You know, the Psalms are full of thanksgiving to God for God's provision in his life. Look at Peter and Paul. To name a few, so many others, every time. Was it easy for them? No, it wasn't. But did God let them down? No. He always came in at the right time. And God sometimes does that to us. And we wonder, why, God? Have you wondered that, or is it only me? Probably it's me. Have you ever wondered, why, God? You know, why aren't you coming a bit sooner? Why are you wanting me to, you know, sort of work it out and sweat it out and, you know, go through this pain and, you know, all this heartache. God, you know, surely you could have done this a little bit beforehand so that I didn't have to go through this pain. But, you know, God sometimes allows us to go through things. Why? Because He's shaping our character. He's forming in us something greater and deeper. Because until we go through that, we will never experience the things that God has already bestowed for us. He's already prepared it for us. It's only when we go through this, it's like if you've been in poverty, real, real poverty, and somebody comes and really blesses you, you will really be thankful. And if you match that with somebody who is okay, fairly okay, let's say you give a person in poverty, desperate poverty, you give them 10 pounds. Man, they will worship you. They will. You give somebody who's doing okay 10 pounds. They look at them. Is that all? Why? Because the man who is in poverty, desperate poverty, is really appreciative of the little. And sometimes God brings us to a stage where we are appreciative of the little things in life. That we don't get all, you know, puffed up, thinking, oh, I can make it on my own. And God says, without me, you can do nothing. John 15 tells us that. Without me, God says, you can do, say nothing. Because we need to get this. Because sometimes we think we can do it without God, but God says, without me, nothing. He has an amazing promise for you. From Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6 says this: be strong, take courage, don't be intimidated, don't give them a second thought, because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Hallelujah. Don't give your fears or your inhibitions or your anxieties or your negative thoughts or your weaknesses or your insecurities a second thought. Why? Because God is right there with you. He will not let you down. He will not leave you. Do not dwell or fuel what is of your carnal thinking or doing. Why? Do not fuel the wrong thing, because what you fuel will burn. If you fuel the wrong things in your life, that's what's going to burn. Rather fuel the things of God, because then you will burn for God. You will rise up with might and power and strength in you. Like David said, I pant after you, O God, like the deer pants for water. Let's be thirsty for God today. For more of God in our lives. Let that be a desire in our hearts. God, I want you more and more. I can have all the material stuff. You can give me the best house, the best car, the best job, the best of everything in life. I can be mega, mega rich. But God, my heart's desire is to long after you, is to thirst for you, because I know without you, I can do nothing. My eternity is secure in you. My providence comes from you. My hope is in you. We can move confidently, can't we, into the next phase of the life of this church. Can we, church, move confidently into the next phase of the life of this church? It's a new chapter. It's a new beginning. And we can be confident that God is able. We sang that song earlier, God is able. He is on our side. He will make a way where there is no way. That is our God. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Imagine this. God being with us wherever we go. Through the thick, through the thin. Through the good, and through the bad. The blessings, the storms, no matter what. Imagine God is always there. He's a shield of armor in the face of our adversity. He's hovering over us. He's providing safety. And His powerful protection is over our lives. He follows us everywhere. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Imagine a life that's surrounded by God. Hallelujah. Oh, who can get to you? Who can squash you? No demon in hell can squash you. When you know the mighty presence of God is surrounding you. God says, I surround you with songs of deliverance. Come on, church, we got to rise up. We got to rise up from our mentality of thinking we are always victims. We are not victims. Because God surrounds us with songs of deliverance. We are more than conquerors through Christ, who has loved us and has given Himself for us. We are not victims. Let me say that again. You and I, we are not victims. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. If we are victims and Christ came in vain, He died in vain, He shed His blood in vain. You and I, we are victorious in Christ Jesus. If you feel let down, if you feel distanced from God, if you feel God has abandoned you and left you, and you're fed up, remember, God is fighting for you. He has never left you. The devil is deceiving you. He's putting those thoughts in your head. dismiss those thoughts and say, devil, I know my God is for me, and I know my God is with me. My God is going before me, and I know that whatever God has for me will come to pass. And today I shut you up, devil. You will not speak or declare things into my mind, nor come into my life, nor have anything to do with me, because I am a child of God. God's protection, God's power, God's authority is on the inside of me. God delivers me. He sings songs of deliverance around me. I'm no victim, but I'm a conqueror, and more than a conqueror through Christ who has loved me. Hallelujah. Stand firm in the liberty for which Christ has set you free. Stand firm. Stand firm this morning. Don't give up and don't give in, because God is on our side. Jesus loves you. He does. Jesus has a great plan for your life. Only Jesus can go into those dark places that are hurting, places of disappointment. Only Jesus can heal you if you will let Him this morning. Say, Jesus, I feel disappointed. I feel lonely. I feel let down. But I know that's a ploy of the enemy. Today I let you in, Jesus, into my disappointment, into my hopeless state. I let you in to come and shine your light in these dark areas in my life, because I want to shine for you, Jesus. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's concerned over you. He's a God who can take care of you. Nobody else can. The best army in the world cannot take care of you, but God can. The best security system, they say, is in Israel. God is better. Hallelujah. God is better. God is better. He surrounds you with His love, with His power. He died just for you. He died just for me. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I just want to take a moment to discover the I Am. Just discover the I Am today in your life. With arms held high, Lord, I give.